I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line from TigerBait.com, he was on the Ponderosa, probably lost about 6 pounds, or watching LSU practice Saturday. Buddy Sonji, buddy, what's up, buddy? How you been?
Good afternoon, good evening, guys. Yeah, Mike, I lost 7 so far in camp, and Saturday was a long day. Great to talk with the Cajun Cannon and you. 19 days away, and the anticipation continues to grow. Man, is this going to be exciting in about 3 weeks.
Buddy, I've never had so many requests to do college football shows, and it's all about LSU Clemson. In the weeks, in the days leading into that game, it's unbelievable how the hype is. And I said this in the early part of the show, but Charlie and I have talked about this before. Clemson is going to be LSU's toughest opponent all year, and LSU is going to be Clemson's tough opponent all year long in the regular season.
Well, buddy, it's like the playoffs before the playoffs.
Hey, no doubt about it. Look, but Bobby, I'm guaranteeing that the Tigers are going to win on the night of August 30th. Now, we don't know if it's the orange and purple or the purple. Oh,
yeah, you caught him on that, though,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, if I just say, yeah, we don't know what Tiger. Yeah, yeah.
Buddy.
Bobby, I got to ask you right out of the gate.
Okay.
LSU, big question, that offensive line. And, Mike, you know this as well as anybody. You schooled me last time. You said, don't worry about the tackles. Tyree Adams and Weston Davis, you got great info that they're doing the job. I think Braylon Moore has made a seamless transition. They didn't start him in the spring, but he's starting out the center. Bobby and Mike, the two keys, left guard, right guard, Ken Josh Thompson, DJ Chester, those are the starters. Paul Mubingu played last year, and Cohen Echols, another guy, played in the backup. Those four guards, Bobby, talk about that interior offensive line, how important it is to keep that quarterback standing up healthy and vertical.
Buddy, he don't like inside pressure. I can tell you right off the bat.
If you know where you're going with the ball, and I'm going to be a pocket quarterback, and I'm not just freelancing, you have to be able to step up. You know, you're not freaking out if they're coming hard off the edge. You just step up in the pocket and you make the throw. And I know Nussmeier could do that. But with a quarterback's worst nightmare is when there's nowhere to go. Now, if you can work your magic like Jayden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick, but how many people are like that? So I'm just talking about like textbook, where you know what to do, and people might say, oh, well, Nussmeier. No, they got to protect him. So if you could step up in the pocket and make the throw, that's why I'm concerned. Look, Ellis has to replace, what, 4 starters. And you look at the experience they're bringing back. That's why, you know, people could be against, you know, the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness and all that. But when I look at that, that's why LSU fans can never bitch at the transfer portal. How in the hell you think we got Joe Burrow and we got Jayden Daniels? The high, not Billy Cannon. You go old school. Look how long it took us to have Heisman winners. And we took advantage of the transfer portal. So I'm looking at, like, instant help. Mike, and I want you to chime in on this. Virginia Tech transfer, Braylon Moore. And then the Northwestern transfer, Josh Thompson.
Man, so here's my thing. Braylon Moore, I think, is going to be fine at center. Buddy can talk about this. Josh Thompson coming here heavy. No, he got to get some weight off his hide. Buddy, you got to see him. And just watching him, from what I watched, he looked heavy the first couple days of practice.
So, and then Chester will slide the guard, right, from center?
Chester will slide the guard. Buddy?
Yeah, unfortunately, he was listed at 301 in the spring, and all of a sudden he got a little bit of Amanda sausage and Buddha and gumbo with rice, and now he's 315, Mike and Bobby. So they're running him, and they're trying to get that weight off, but it's not good weight, about 7 pounds in the belly. I would hope that he would get down another 5. But let me give you a little update on Nuss. There was such a scare on Nuss, and everybody knows the tendonitis in the patella tendon. I thought he was a little leery to step up and make the throws, looked much more comfortable. They gave him a day off on Sunday. They all needed a day off, but Nuss looked much better, more comfortable. But like Bobby said, Mike, you're going to have to see some times where Nuss steps up in the pocket, and whether he takes that 3 or 4 yard run for a first down or whatever, he's going to have to do that. And if you're worried about getting that knee banged up a little bit, makes him a little bit less apt to want to run. But, man, all the other areas of LSU, lights out, and they are deep. They're mean. They're frisky and spicy. And I've already got a nickname for the defense. Are you ready, guys?
Give it to me.
The Nasty Boys.
The Nasty Boys.
I watched them wrestle years ago, the Nasty Boys.
Well, hopefully this defense is nasty, because that's been unacceptable, especially in 2023. I never thought my dad was rolling over in his grave.
That
you
was
know,
bad.
Passed away in 2020. That's one thing my dad always took pride, being in Tiger Stadium in the real Dead Valley, not Dead Valley Junior, like what you have at Clemson. But the defense, that's when you get the crowd and Tiger Stadium really fired up, when your defense is kicking ass. And they, you know what? The defense is so good, the opposing team can't even get 2 or 3 first downs in a row. And then you're taking away the football. Or like when you had a guy like Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu setting the tone, scoop and score, pick six, all that kind of stuff. Look, great for the offense, and you love to see that kind of entertainment. But you want a crowd, 100,000 crowd, your defense, that could be even the NFL level. Your defense kicks ass, and it just seems like the crowd's more into it. But have you noticed that through the years watching a game? That it just seems like that the fans are more emotional when your defense is dominant.
Well, guys, look, LSU, the first 3 years of Brian Kelly, has been a finesse football team. They are trying to be more physical, and they've brought in that physicality. Mike, I got to ask you, Jack Pyburn, is he going to bring an impact from a physicality standpoint?
Gabriel he will.
Ellison.
Yes, he will.
Bernard Gooden, Dominic McKinley, and oh, by the way, folks, finally, you're going to see Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins on the field at the same time. PJ is a tough little son of a gun playing some nickel, got better cover corners, and then two excellent safeties in the portal to Marcus Cooley and A.J. Halsey. But, Mike, out of all those guys, don't you agree that they're a lot more physical with just the talent they have now, all those guys we just mentioned?
Yeah, no question about it. But I think the big thing defensively is – we see improvement. They've got talent, and they got depth along the defensive line now. The same thing can be said. Man, you get two of the top three transfer portal safeties brought in, so you better in that position. I think cornerback, I'm interested in P.J. Woodland. Why? Man, P.J. can play, but I think his second number is a 6, but it's probably 1-6-2, something like that. He's probably, what, 5'11", 162 pounds? But that little guy can play. And my thing is, can this team stop a team when they decide they're going to run the ball, and can they control the running quarterbacks? That has given LSU a lot of issues. So I'd like for you to talk about that and also about P.J. Woodland.
Hey, guys, I asked Blake Baker. I said, it's the elephant in the room, Coach. You've got to stop the run-pass option. If Sellers didn't get hurt last year against Carolina, they lose that game. Texas A&M, with a backup, came in. They didn't have it. Blake admitted today he changed the scheme. He changed some stuff out. But once again, I got to go back to what Bobby said, talking about kicking ass. Guys, 6 INTs for the whole year, 8 recovered fumbles for the whole year, 14 takeaways. It's minuscule. You got to be in the 20s. Look, Bobby, Mike, when LSU was winning championships, and we've seen 3 in the last 20-something years, they were plus 20 on the turnover ratio. Bobby, you hit the nail on the head. Got to be badass, but get some takeaways, more INTs, more recovered fumbles, more sacks, and more TFLs.
You know, and then now looking at the on the offensive side of the ball, you look at the wide receiver, I think truly – you know, when you look at, I don't know, Patrick Peterson and all going way back, Honey Badger and all that, DBU, when you say LSU's more wide receiver you now?
Oh, no question.
And then you look at the potential, like with Aaron Anderson, You look at like Nick Anderson. You look Barry and Brown. All the weapons that they have.
And Kyle Parker, who gets kind of caught up in a mix of all these guys.
So when I look at that, I said, no, I think, and you look what they're doing at the NFL level, you look at like Jamar Chase. They don't have to play in a preseason game. You look at Justin Jefferson. I mean, all I know is I think LSU is like wide receiver you right now.
Guys, they have so many wide receivers. I'm just going to run the numbers off real quick. 0, Xavion Thomas. 1, Aaron Anderson. 2, Destin Hill coming from Florida State. 4, Nick Anderson. Big receiver, going to be hard to stop inside the red zone. 6, Barry Brown. Took 5 kickoffs to the house for Kentucky. He can fly. Of course, don't sleep on 10, Bauer Sharp. And 14, they had a lot of 12 personnel out there. Both of them going to play a lot together. And, of course, as we know, Trey Dennis Green, Mike, inside the red zone. Don't ask him to block. Catch the football. They've got 7 or 8 legitimate wide receivers, 2 tight ends. And, oh, by the way, Bobby, you know it. You swing that ball, Mike. You swing that little swing pass to Caden Durham in the flat. He makes people miss. Caden Durham right now, in my opinion, over 1,000 yards rushing, and he's doing good after he catches the ball in space. So that little flip to the running back, Bobby, it's just as good as a run play, isn't it?
Oh, look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He loved it when we were talking to him at Saints camp. And he found out I was Coach O's roommate in college. He's like, what? He goes, oh, man, that's my man. And so he's just saying how the trust factor. And we're just talking about the big block he had in the Saints game against the Chargers when teams are blitzing. You know, that's when you purely are running back that the coach can trust you, the quarterback can trust you. Not only how you running between the tackles or the explosive plays, but when you want to be an every down back and who you got a pass block, you know what the hell you're doing. That's when a guy like Nuss, you know, if I'm playing and I'm in a passing down, I'm not LSU practice. Whoever's that running back who not some of the time gets it right, but 10 out of 10, no matter how they blitz and how he works and the cohesiveness of the offensive line, they know who to block and they don't get run over. That's the guy I wanted there so I could stand in the pocket and make the
throw.
That's
why Caden's going to play. Sometimes Caleb, and man, he's built for the part. But sometimes he didn't understand real well about pass protection.
No, that's not good. I know as a veteran quarterback, I was like, okay, he could be part of the game plan. But when you want that trust factor, you got to have that running back in there that knows the offense like you do, even though they're not a quarterback, and understands protections. Like they almost in the offensive line meeting room, and they have different stunts, and nobody's coming scot-free. Now, you can play an out-and-out cover 0 where you can't block everybody, then the receivers have to adjust and the quarterback. But there are times when they're doing dogs, not an out-and-out 0 blitz, when they're doing dogs. And I'm telling you, the running back is just as important as the damn lineman because everybody's on an island and you got to step up that one-on-one block. That's why, buddy, you like this. I always love Craig Ironhead Hayward. He was 265 pounds and doing that run and shoot. On that run and shoot. And it was like having a guard back there. And I was like, and all of a sudden, you know, guys would think they were coming scot-free. And all of a sudden, they'd see Ironhead waiting for him to go, oh, no. That ain't happening. That's why something as little as just pass protection because how the game is today, just pass protection by the running back, how important it is, and they know what they're doing.
And you know what, guys? I got to be honest with you. That's where you miss Josh Williams. I mean, you know, everybody knows he wasn't a great threat to take 40 yards to the house, but he stuck his nose in there. You're talking about Clyde Allaire, one of the greatest plays in LSU history, 3rd and 17. Boom, he sticks his face in there. Burrow squints. Burrow leans. Burrow shoots it to Justin Jefferson, and he runs away from Texas. That's the key play of the game. You guys just hit on a couple of big things. Who is that running back is going to have that ability to pass pro, pass protect, but go Eric Nussmeier, because you're going to see him under duress. You're going to see him throwing off his back foot, and you're going to see him trying to get rid of it in 2.5 seconds or less. It's still a complicated work in progress, but you got 19 days to fine-tune it.
Buddy, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and giving us those Manda moments, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Buddy's hard. You're living legend. Not too many living legends you get to be around. And Buddy's
well,
one of those
you
dudes.
Guys are the legends. And look, Bobby, I got a T-shirt coming your way. And it's going to say simply what Brian Kelly said after the Oklahoma game. We're taking receipts. And we'll
he'll wear that.
I'll
wear that. I'll wear that. All right, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All righty. Buddy Sanji from TigerBait.com. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Hey, we know you can't always listen to an entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want and how you want. Listen to this show and our entire WWL Time Shifted podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, we'll have on with us Renee Nadeau talking about Tulane football, also some Saints football, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here every Monday until the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. On our Oakwood Hardoulas talking text line, he's the host of Datitude Podcast, covers LSU, Tulane, the Saints, Jim Derry. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be on with y'all. I'm going to have to come over there to Silver Slipper one Monday night.
Come see us, Jim. Really enjoy that. Jim, I'm going to let Bobby maybe ask you some Saints questions, but I'll ask you about Tulane first.
Okay. And
basically, every national show that I've done, they have brought up Tulane to me as a team that they think could get into the top 12 and be a team that could play, you know, because you're in that top 12, you got a shot. Okay, you got a shot at the big ball of wax. And a lot of it certainly has to do with Retzloff transferring from BYU to Tulane. Your thoughts on the Green Wave, and I'll tell you why I think there's some legitimacy to that.
Well, Mike, you say top 12. That means they're going to run the table, huh? I mean, they can't. It's not like LSU can have a
no
couple of losses.
They could have one loss.
Okay.
But my thing is,
they could lose like Ole Miss or something.
Yeah, exactly. My thing about it is to listen to John Sumrall, and we heard it right after spring drill. He was excited, and I can hear it in his voice about his defense. He wasn't sure about the quarterback position, but he was excited about his defense, and he came on with us last Thursday and was just as excited them about his defense, especially his defensive line. But I think he got clarity at the quarterback position. Do you think this Green Wave team is good enough to be an 11-1 team and get into that top 12 series?
Mike, you know I like to always look at what the odds makers think, because Vegas knows more than us. They always know more than us. The reason why they make money. Tulane right now is number two among the non-Power 5 teams in odds to make the playoffs at 7.5-1, which, you know, that seems like a high number. Boise State is the overwhelming favorite at just around 2-1. But the odds makers think that Tulane has a decent chance to make it, and I really like what I see. I like what John Sumrall's been talking about. They had their scrimmage this past weekend. Both the top two quarterbacks, Brent Solomon and Jake Retzlaff, both did pretty well. You talk about the defensive line. I am excited about this Tulane team, and I definitely think that they are capable of going an 11-1. Would I go out and bet that they're going to go 11-1? No, the over-under is 8.5 wins. I think they're probably like a 9-win football team, which is definitely not good enough to get in there. But I do not. It's not out of the question that they could win 11 games and get themselves into one of the 12 teams.
Now, Jim, when you look at like the Saints and how you take for granted the efficiency of Drew Brees and Sean Payton and all that, and this caught my attention that, you know, if you look at it, they got 10 points on 11 possessions. And you look at opportunity. You talk about field position, flipping the field. Sean would always talk about that. That here you're starting at, I don't know, you're starting at the Chargers 17-yard line because of a muff punt and you don't score. I mean, I know they went forward on fourth down, but those are the kind of things, and even you're hovering around midfield, that is too many times you're not taking advantage of that, and it could be maybe the lack of experience at quarterback and the task at hand and what it takes to, you know, to actually get points and realize that we can't come out down here empty. But that was the thing I was discouraged by a little bit, because I was telling Mike this earlier. You know, I look at the glass half full in this regard, where the defense forced 5 3-and-outs in the game and had 3 straight 3-and-outs. And we didn't do nothing with it. See, that's the kind, you want to change the momentum in a game. Those are the kind of things you got to take advantage of. And it's not the individual players, more like the team concept.
Bobby, the drive that bothered me the most is the one you talked about. And it's what, you know, what I really want to see out of Spencer Rattler in this preseason is I want him to be more decisive. It's great to hear that he's doing well in practice and he has these good numbers or whatever. And he's not decisive in the games. And it's what I've seen. You know, teams are making all these adjustments on him. It's why his first half passer rating is twice as good as his second half passer rating. I want to see, and that drive you're talking about, there was the one time when he ended up running for 5 yards. If he would have ran a little bit sooner, I really think he could have made it into the end zone. So that's what I want to see about him. And look, the plays, I also would like to get your take on, I thought the play calling was different for Spencer Rattler than it was for Tyler Shough, which to me indicates that I think that Kellen Moore is leaning towards Shough, because he seemed to have more of what Kellen Moore's playbook is going to consist of, whereas Spencer Rattler was kind of more handing off and dunking off.
Yeah, I think that this is what I think they're going to do. I think they want Tyler Shough, when he's truly ready to play, they don't want him with task at hand, just to, you know, just be able to weather the storm and be able to handle the adversity. I think they want to help him to have success. I don't know if it's 100% from the get-go, but I could see with them going with Spencer Rattler, and then all of a sudden, Tyler Shough's the guy. Because Tyler Shough's the guy for the future. Spencer Rattler is an NFL quarterback, but he's not an NFL a starter that they can lean upon year in and year out. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at Jacoby Brissett. He's now, you know, he started last year for the Patriots. Then all of a sudden, Drake May comes week six against the Texans. And then now Jacoby Brissett is in with the Cardinals. So, no, Spencer Rattler can have a fine double-digit career. I think he has enough moxie and swagger. But to say to be the man, I just think that what they have invested and going workout, Tyler Shough, that being Kellen Moore, that's the guy in the future. Now, Bobby, what if he doesn't work out? Well, if he doesn't work out, then they're going to draft somebody else. You know, you might be picking in the top five. And I think instead of getting a veteran quarterback, you truly got to go that route, and hopefully you hit like a Jane Daniels type. No, that's Jordan Love, whatever it might be. I just think that's the approach they would take.
Well, it was disappointing yesterday. I mean, that to me, and it's only one preseason game. You can't, you know as well as I do, you can't get too fired up. You can't get too upset about what you see in one preseason game. But like I said, to me, the problem with Spencer the entire time has been his decisiveness, and I want to see him make a move. Look, if you throw an interception, you throw an interception. But find what you want to do and go ahead and do it. And that's where I guess I didn't see that again yesterday, and it leads me to believe that Shough is – if he's not going to be the starter early on, I hear what you're saying about Rattler. I could see them putting him in for three, four, those first tough four games stretch, put in to Rattler. If he does well, great. He's the quarterback. And if he doesn't, then you put in Chuck around the Giants or the Patriots game five or game six. But they have a short time to figure it out because preseason is no longer four games. It's three. That's a good thing in the grand scheme of things, but it's a short time to figure out who your quarterback's going to be.
Well, let me tell you what I would drill in my head, how that football is like gold. Whether you're throwing interceptions or fumbling the ball in the pocket and your pocket awareness or you getting sacked or living to fight another day just to be able to get rid of the ball. The offensive linemen, they love you when they're getting beat and you just get rid of the ball and it's not a negative play on them. That I find a lot of young guys, I don't know their pocket presence, and it's not so much you got to run around like Lamar Jackson or Jane Daniels, Michael Vick and all that. It's just knowing where your outlets are. Like, for instance, when I look at Spencer Rattler, he got good moves and all that, but sometimes his pocket awareness, like, for instance, he had five fumbles, and he lost three of them and five interceptions in seven games last year. And then he looked at three sacks, also matched his rookie season average. When he was playing last year, that's what you were getting, three sacks. He averaged that match, like I said, his rookie season with three sacks when he was brought down like 3.1 times per game last season. And you might say, well, Bobby, what is your expertise on that? Mike, I told you this. I was the least sacked quarterback in the whole NFL in 1992. I got sacked 12 times in 15 games, and I got sacked three times in one game against the Bills. That's when they had Biscuit, Cornelius Bennett, Bruce Smith, and all. And it was like 1,001, throw it. And I knew they were playing.
You didn't get to two.
No, they were playing. They were playing cover two man. I knew what they were doing. I'm looking at Carl Smith like, ain't nobody open. And he's like, and I said, well, we got to do something different.
Keep fighting,
and he just told me, keep fighting. I said, what the hell you think I've been doing? I'm hanging in there. You know, but I'm just saying your pocket presence, something as simple as taking a sack or not taking a sack, and knowing when they're around you, they tomahawk chopping, knocking that ball out. That's one area that Rattler has to get better. Because he's too mobile to get sacked to me that many times.
Sometimes he is walking right into the teeth of pressure.
Right.
I see that in a lot of young quarterbacks. They walk right into it. Caleb Williams last year, great example. Okay, he got time to throw it, but he's unsure where to go with it, so he takes off running. They got two guys coming straight at him. Man, so you walked right into the
pressure. Well, you know what you got to do? Instead of just sitting there and let him get to you, or you know what else you can't do? Start running around backwards like your head's cut off.
That ain't good.
And you start bailing and giving up yards. I'm like, what? You're not playing in your backyard. You can't do that.
Well, Bobby, it's not fair to you know, try to put Spencer Rattler next to Jaden Daniels. But one thing that Jaden Daniels was super successful of as a rookie is he came in and he just winged it. I mean, and it ended up working for him. Now, is he going to be able to do that in the second season? Maybe so. He still got sacked 47 times, Jaden Daniels did. But he was able to get away and do his thing. And that's what, again, I'm not trying to compare Spencer Rattler to Jaden Daniels, but I really think that he has similar athletic tools. If he would just let himself go and do some of these things, if he makes some mistakes, he makes some mistakes. But that's what I want to see out of him.
Jim, one of the things, I don't remember in recent years the hype of a game. In week one, or I should say, week one, LSU-Clemson that has come up. Man, and already, man, I got a calendar that's almost filled up. LSU-Clemson previews of leading up to this game and the hype because you got two teams that's in the top 10, two teams that probably won't face a tougher opponent than each other in that game. And you playing it on the road, that's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly. He just kind of sloughs it off. But I know that there's pressure on him because of what's happened, back-to-back games against Florida State, and you lose against USC, to win game one. And he's put a lot of that on his own team.
You can only get told so many times, Mike, that you can't win the big game. And he just hasn't been. And so how many times can you not win the big game and keep coming back and fighting for more? So, look, this is a huge game. And like you say, I think he's trying to brush it off. He's trying to bring some swag to the table. But this is a huge game for LSU. They're underdogs in this game, going to Clemson. You talk about a quarterback for Clemson that is seems like he's been around forever. And he's excellent. You give Clemson, they have a great chance. I mean, an excellent chance to be one of the top 12. I think, you know, they're less than even money to make it. And you talked about it on my show. They're a national championship contender. So is it a must-win for LSU? No, but I think it sets the tone, and it's part of the problem that LSU's had the last couple of years with Brian Kelly is just not winning that first game just sets things the wrong way. Then they find themselves they have to catch up, and that's where I have a problem with it. And I don't like scheduling these kinds of games early on. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, and do what Alabama's done in the past, not this year, but what Alabama's done in the past. But I just think that maybe you schedule something a little lighter.
Jim, I'm going to argue with you on that one. Don't you think TV and money controls everything?
Oh,
I would want to
see. Knows that better than anybody.
I would want to see more games like this. You know, home and home. It's more like the NFL. Texas, Ohio State. Ohio State, Texas. LSU, Clemson. Then Clemson coming back to Baton Rouge. If you had a handful of that, almost every week. That's must see TV.
Don't get me wrong. I think that's absolutely what we as fans want to see. But I think as an LSU fan per se, maybe
you're exactly right
to start.
Yeah,
so
I got
of course
you.
The average fan wants to see Texas and Ohio State play and LSU and Clemson play in week one. But you know, it's a lot easier if you play. I don't know. Maybe you make Western Kentucky in week one, and then you get it a little bit harder in week two.
Jim, One of the things I told this to Bob. That if Alabama had Garrett Nussmeier on that team, I'd pick them to win the national championship. I don't know too much about Ty. I got to know him at the Manning camp, and we had a really good conversation, and I watched him throw the football. But, man, do you really think Florida State is going to put up a battle against Alabama in week one?
No, I do not. And look, I think Alabama's still Alabama. And again, when we talk about odds and who's going to win the SEC, Alabama is at 3.5-1. LSU's at 7-1. So they think there's a twice as good a chance that Alabama's going to win the SEC over LSU. Do I agree with that? Not necessarily, but I understand how they get there. And look, Kellen DeBoer came in last year with a lot of pressure on his shoulders, just like Brian Kelly's got. And he found a way to, you know, have a pretty good first season. So we're going to learn a lot from them in that first game as well. But, you know, I agree with you about Garrett Nussmeier. If he was the quarterback of Alabama, I think they'd be the favorites to win it.
Now, Jim, you know what I want to see in the Jaguar game? Because I've been preaching this. We were 1-4 last stop in the run. And when all was said and done against the Chargers, we gave up 4.5 yards a run and we averaged 3. How about we flip that? How about we average 4.5 and only give up 3? You know, something simple as that.
Find out who's going to be the RB2. We got to find out who RB2 is. We don't even know who that is.
Right. Yeah, we don't even know who's going to help out Alvin Kamara. But, yeah, I just want to see, can old school, I don't know, set the tone. Can we stop the run and run the football? I mean, I want to see that. That'll help out a young quarterback.
Yeah, if you can run the ball, you can help out a lot of things.
Yeah.
Jim, thanks
for a long time.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Always enjoy when you come on with us. Great stuff, buddy. Thanks so much. And I know for
you,
prep season's right around the corner, too.
We're ready to go. We're ready to roll. Football is here.
Yes, sir. Jim Derry does a great job on Datitude. Thank him for coming on with us here on the Second Guest Show. We'll take a break and come back and close it out on hour number 3 here on Second Guest on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here, hour number 3 on Sports Talk here on the Big 870, our second guest show, our first one of the summertime, and we'll be here at the Silver Slipper Casino all the way until the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. I'd like to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, one more hour here of second guest, and we'll have on with us Stan Verrett. Will join us. He was at Saints practices out in California. We'll have his take on the Saints preseason football and regular season also right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.